For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Hey, if you open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we're going to be here. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this servant team, for people who have given their lives to you. And Lord, we know when we give our lives to you, you give us back more than we can think or ask. We thank you that your love is that way. It's so rich that you know how you made us. You know what you made us for. You know what our future is. We don't know that. If we did, it'd be too scary for us to face. But with you, you bear us through it. You lead us. You are at work both to will and to work for your good pleasure in us. We thank you so much for that. We pray that as we study this morning, as we fellowship through the day, as we study tonight, as we have the Lord's Supper tonight, that you would draw us together as a team, that you would draw us to you. And Lord, as we come together like this, we ask that you would give us spiritual protection too. We know Satan is so four square against anything that's good. He's against your work being done here. And we ask that you would lead us, you would protect us, and that every place he puts an obstacle or an attack in our way, that you would turn it into a victory, Lord. That's what we want and we expect. Amen. All right, so we're going to take up the whole issue of prayer as spiritual battle. And I think that, you know, we talk about the personal connection, the relational connection that we have with God in prayer, and what Satan wants to do is destroy that. But there's more to prayer, too, than a connection with God, that we are interceding for others as well. And Satan wants to disrupt that. So if you're at Ephesians 6, let's just read through this classic passage starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Wow. Well, we're in a spiritual battle. This is a struggle. That we have a foe who is wicked, who is a roaring lion searching for someone to devour. And he gives us the sword of the Spirit, the Lord does. But he says, 18, let's look at it again. "And pray in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit who fills us, who leads us, in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." You see, God has sent us into battle. God, our Father, the Father who loves you and the connection that he has with you and he wants to develop with you, that same Father puts his arm around us and sends us to war, to battle. And it's because of his love for us that he sends us into battle equipped to fight and equipped to win, with an assurance that he is with us, that he has armed us. You know what it says, put on the full armor? It's the full armor of God, that you can stand firm in the power of his might, not your own. It's not your armor. And he straps it on you if you will ask him to. That's the God we're dealing with, our Father that sends us into a struggle. But prayer is a struggle. It is for me. How many of you say, "Man, I got this prayer thing whipped. It's easy. Here, I'll teach you." Like Oswald Sanders says, "If I want to humble a man, I'll ask him how his prayer life is." In Colossians 4, Paul says, Epaphras, who is always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Laboring earnestly. So if you think prayer is hard, join the club. It's battle. It's a fight. You're going to be bruised by it. So I want to go back. What happened here? This struggle, it's like this. This is from Chuck Smith's book on prayer. He says, so imagine you're walking down an alley. Some guy jumps you and he wants to rob you. Wrestles you to the ground, but you roll over and you just happen to pull out of your pocket a switchblade. You've got the weapon and he doesn't. You're away from him. This is the way Satan looks at prayer. You've got that weapon. You've got the knife in your hand. And what's his focus? His whole focus is to disarm you by getting the knife out of your hand. So his attacks are going to be directed at taking the knife, the weapon of prayer, out of your hand. Then you're disarmed. Then he can win. So we've got to think, how does he attack? And every attack that Satan sends your way, God wants to change that into a victory for him, for you in the battle. Every attack that he'll turn, just like in judo, you taking his momentum and throwing him on the mat and smashing his skull. That's what you want to do. Okay? Right? This is violence, folks. Spiritual battle is violence. So what I want to do is just go through what I see are some of the common attacks and what God has given us to counterattack. And I'm sure there are other ideas here, and we're going to have some time to share after these two brief teachings. The first is that we just have the sense we want to run away, because his attack is to puff himself up, that he is a formidable opponent, that he's scary. And we just, maybe even unconsciously, we just think, I've never been good at that prayer thing. I don't like the struggle. It's too difficult. And we're tempted to just run away and hide. You know, and what God calls us to do is to step forward into this kind of prayer. And the way that we step forward, for me anyway, is the way you begin your prayers. You begin your prayers with the full understanding that you are in battle, that Satan is against you, that you are incapable of this, and you say, God, I want to engage in prayer. I want to fight spiritual battle. I want to draw close to you, but I can't. I try and I fail. It's not that I come up with this whole new plan. I think it's good to be organized and have a plan. But you need, I believe, to begin in humility before God and say, God, I cannot do this. This is a spiritual thing and I'm a man of the flesh. You need to teach me how to do this. Empower me as I go every time. That's engaging the enemy, not running away. How about distraction? I mean, if you're here and he's fighting you, I remember when I used to play with the kids when they were little, I'd say, hey, look here. And then I'd jab them in the ribs with my other hand. It was fun. And then you'd use the other hand. Look here. Boom. Finally, they began to catch on. Well, see, that's what Satan, he's like, look at the birdie. And then boom. See, how many times do you sit and you try to pray and you start thinking about something else? I mean, our minds are that way. And I see these distractions in two major categories. One is what I call stimulation distraction. So I'll start thinking about a project I'm working on, or I start thinking about a hobby, or I start thinking about a fishing trip. I look outside like, oh, it's beautiful. I'd like to go outside. And the prayer's gone. Does that happen to any of you? Yeah. So there's that kind, but then there's the distraction of worry. That, there are certain concerns, and they're real concerns that we all have. But those can begin to run in our minds. And I think that's why Paul said in Philippians 4, he says, be anxious for nothing, or like the New Living translates it, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And so it acknowledges that when these triggers, like distraction and worry, they should serve as triggers to think, no, this is an attack. He's trying to get me to look over here so he can snatch the knife out of my hand. And so you have to like the scripture says, don't make a provision for the flesh. You have to be ready for this kind of thing. For me, if I try to just sit and do like a silent prayer and try to get into a mood of prayer, you know, that doesn't work. Maybe if you're at the top of your prayer game or something like that, that works for you. But I have to say my prayers out loud or write them down or pray with someone else. Otherwise, boom, I'm gone. Maybe on the best day. The other thing you have to be attentive to is that we are still animals, right? We're natural. We are functioning biological beings somehow filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're spiritual beings like Lewis in the C.S. Lewis says we're amphibians. That's what the demons say about us because we've got flesh and spirit. You got to realize if you take your prayers and you say, I'm going to say my prayers at bedtime. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Why? Because it takes the utmost in concentration and focus to have a warlike prayer. And I'm going to relegate that to the time before I go to bed when my mind is most undisciplined and ready to float. You just wouldn't do that. You'd take this thing that is the most difficult thing to do spiritually in my mind, and you take that at your best time of day, and you would not make a provision for distraction in that. That's what I have to do anyway, because I'm so easily distracted. That's the counterattack. What about guilt and shame? How many times you've been in the middle of your prayer and you begin to feel the weight of your sin? Now, I think God's going to convict us during times of prayer too, and he gives us just more revelations, more self-understanding about our sin. Where does this sin come from deep inside? But then Satan wants to turn any kind of self-understanding and revelation like that on its head so that you feel guilty and alienated. You feel ashamed about yourself. Man, I just know I've just recently more and more with this whole notion of the depth of pride and how deep that goes down into my soul and how hard it is to rid myself of these feelings of pride, comparison to other people. You know, I find myself praying and I'll start thinking about someone that I'm like competing with. And I'm sinning while I pray. Do you sin while you pray? It's sick. And then Satan's like, man, you sin while you pray. You suck. And you know, you can think, man, you know, I should just give up on this. Who would want me in this job as a spiritual leader, an elder? And he sins when he prays? But what's Christ say? You know, that's why Ephesians 6 says, strap on the full armor of God. What's at the heart of the full armor of God? It's the belt of truth, but then it's the breastplate of righteousness, that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that you wear the helmet of salvation, and you take up the shield of faith. There's no good work in faith. There's no guy that says, man, I've got it together, that takes up the shield of faith. Faith means that I take the power of God, and with the shield of faith that says you can extinguish every flaming dart of the evil one. You see, and I think again, when I begin my prayers, I pray that God would guide me into this prayer, that I want to engage in this spiritual battle, but I say, God, this is your armor. You strap it on me. Help me come into my time of prayer girded with your armor, because Satan is going to attack me, and he's going to attack my through this guilt and shame and make me feel alienated. And you know, the sweet thing about this is when he attacks you like that and you turn back to the shield of faith and the full armor of God, and you realize that I can come into the presence of God because of what he's done for me, your faith grows. Your understanding of grace grows. Your relationship with God deepens, and Satan runs. You keep that knife in your hand and you fight that attack back. And then there's bitterness and conflict. You know, if you're in conflict with somebody, this is when Satan's going to bring it up, right? You're sitting there, you're trying to pray for your friend that needs to know God, and you're praying for his protection. You're praying that God would bring others into his life. And suddenly you think of this person that you're in conflict with and what an idiot they were, and you can't believe what they said to you, and you wish you would have said this, and man, that would have knocked them down a few notches. You ever get that in prayer? More sin in prayer. It happens to me. But here again, Satan's going to use that against you. But it's another opportunity. Because what are we called? We're called to be at peace with all men. Jesus even said there in Matthew 5, he says, if you go to the altar to present your sacrifice, and you think that, and remember that someone has something against you, not that you have something against them, they have something against you. He says you are to go and you resolve that. You know, this is a high value because unity in the body of Christ is a witness to the world that God is real. When Satan attacks you with bitterness and alienation, you need to turn that back and resolve. Maybe you need to confess to someone, I'm not going to let this alienation persist. Let no root of bitterness spring up amongst you, lest many be defiled. Yeah. So prayer is a challenge. I love this section. This is from Hallisby's book on prayer. He says, many of us cannot quite understand how prayer can involve difficulty and anguish. Why should praying entail so much suffering? Why should our prayer life be a constantly flowing source of anguish? If we will reflect but for a moment, we will, however, see that it really cannot be otherwise. If prayer is, as we have seen, the central function of the new life of faith, the very heartbeat of our life in God, it is obvious that our prayer life must become the target against which Satan directs his best and most numerous darts. He understands better than we do what prayer means to ourselves and to others. That is why his chief attack is directed against our prayer life. If he can in one way or another weaken it, his prospects of stealing our life in God without us even noticing are of the very best. For this reason, Satan mobilizes everything that he can commandeer in order to hinder our prayer. That's what we have to deal with. Prayer is a spiritual battle. That's why it's so difficult. But I think it brings us to this question then, how will you respond to Satan's threat? These attacks, this temptation I have to run and hide. God says we need to step forward into the fight. We need to take up the full armor of God with the expectation that God is going to move in. Our loving Father who sends us into war is there with us. And I love this passage. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to read this out of the New Living. I like the way they translate this section. Daniel 10. Now, Daniel's in prayer. God is granting him a vision. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not like Daniel. I'm not a prophet. But here's the thing that's similar between us and Daniel. He is involved in a spiritual struggle. He is receiving revelation from God. He feels anguish in the midst of this. Just like Hallisby said that prayer of this type, we suffer anguish. And I want you to see how God's messenger provides for Daniel. This is how God provides for us. Let's start in verse 10. It says, just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. You see, here's the connection you have to make. Our loving Heavenly Father allows us to suffer because it is for the good of his kingdom and it is for the good of us. You know, Daniel says that, you know, he was wiped out, but he says, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Verse 12 then, it says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. The spiritual battle. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to me, and I left him there with the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to see. His mind was blown by this. Mine would be too. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am filled with anguish because of the vision I have seen, my Lord, and I am very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. You know, I think that's the position God wants you to be in. If you feel weak, that's good. How can someone like me speak to you? Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. That's what God wants you to take away from this battle, that he is with you. Remember that. Verse 19. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. And as he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. That's what we got to look forward to.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.